So I want you to, there's one, we're going to look at several passages of Scripture, if you know me, but the main passage I want you to turn to, whether you have your Bible or a smartphone, is I want you to turn to my favorite book of the Bible, the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. We've already been, in fact, I love when the Holy Spirit does this. It's just what you've already been seeing happening in this service already. And this is something that God wants us to take, what the Lord wants us to take from this service during our time of worship and getting into His Word. But He wants us to take this and use it outside these four walls, in our homes, in our families, in our businesses. And yes, this is a part of us coming together where I call this huddle time, because most of us in here are believers. If you're not, you're going to be one before you leave here today, I promise. But this is huddle time where we get charged up, we get our faith increased, we get stronger being together, and then we go out into the marketplace. And so the title of this message today is Commanding Power. And I'm going to kind of tell you my burden. When I say burden, I don't want that to sound like a negative thing. It's just something that when the Lord has placed upon me, this burden that as believers, there's a, and I don't want this to sound not right, okay, when I'm fixing to say something, you're going to go cock your head this way, I can already see you do it, is you need to have a prayer life, amen? You need to have a life where you confess the Word of God over your life and over your situations and circumstances. But we're going to take it a step further today, and I'm going to teach you something in spiritual warfare, and I don't get all goofy on me when I say spiritual warfare, but we're going to take it a step further, and I want to teach us that you have commanding power in your voice. If you are a believer in Jesus, Jesus delegated that authority that He has to us here on this earth. And so you can command things to happen in your life in Jesus' name. Now you got to use His name, all right? So yes, prayer life, yes. Yes, confessing, yes. But we're going to take it a step further, and you're going to have to start commanding. So look at somebody and say, I command you. All right, no, we use this on the enemy. Don't leave here and say, I'm going to use this on my spouse today. No, that's not the teaching we're doing today. This commanding is what we use against the enemy. And the first thing that I want to do is, I know I told you turn to the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to get there here in just a second, but I want to show you a passage in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. And if you've Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. This is where the Apostle Paul teaches us as believers, as the Lord's disciples, about the armor of God. And this is something that we literally need to put on every day. Okay? It's a spiritual armor. You don't see it, but it's invisible. You need to have an understanding of this armor and put it on every day so that you can walk in this world and walk with the Lord and overcome the enemy. But Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You've got to remind yourself of verse 12, because we don't fight against flesh and blood. Amen? You're fight. Now, flesh and blood, the enemy may be using flesh and blood against you, but who's behind that, what you see, is a spiritual force, and it's demonic. And that's what's going on. You have to remind yourself of that. Verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I'm going to go ahead and click you over here so you can see what scripture we're at. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Verse 14, he says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So faith is very important. All these parts of the armor are very important. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Don't forget the Word of God. That's the sword of the Spirit. That's your offensive weapon. And verse 18, a lot of people stop there, but you also need verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So prayer is another weapon of the armor of God. So we need all of that put together. And a lot of Christians are just walking out onto the battlefield and all they have on is their helmet of salvation. And then they wonder why they're getting, you know, they're not being able to stand against the enemy. You've got to put on all these pieces of armor. Now I want you to jump over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church again. And he says in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So, I don't know if Jennifer won't mind me sharing this, but when she came up here for prayer this morning, it was a spirit of fear. She was just saying, "Hey, I just want to get this fear out of my thoughts." She knows she's a daughter of the Most High God, but sometimes you've got to take control over those situations and say, "I command you to leave in Jesus' name." Get those. God did not give us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7, but of love and power and a sound mind. And everybody said, "Amen." All right, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. This is our main text for today. My favorite book of the Bible, starting in verse 35. In Mark chapter 4, it says, "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.'" So Jesus has already told these disciples, "We're going to go ahead and this is the word of the Lord. We're going to cross over to the other side." "Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling up." Verse 38 says, "But he was in the stern," this is talking about Jesus, "that he was in the stern asleep," all right, "on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea," what did he say? Some of you know this, "'Peace, be still.'" And he said that, he didn't say that silently. He said that, I have an exclamation point in my Bible and it's written in red. He said that with a loud voice. He said, "Peace, be still." Sometimes over your situation and circumstances, you need to command that right there. Just peace, be still. Peace, be still. Over your mind, over your thoughts, over circumstances, situations that's going on in your home, in your marriage, in your family, in your finances. Just peace, be still. And the word says, "And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Now we're going to, in the Bible, wind is a type of spirit. And in this situation, it's a type of an evil spirit. So the unseen force that caused the waves was the wind. The waves were what were filling the boat up, but what was causing the wave was an unseen force, the wind. Everybody tracking with me? So there are unseen forces that are causing the waves in your life. There are unseen forces in your life that are causing the waves to even come into your boat and start filling it up, trying to sink you. And this is where prayer, that's part of your armor of God. This is where the armor of God comes in that I talked about. This is your prayer life. This is your confessing life, that you're confessing the right things over your life and not negativity. I'm telling you, if some people in here would just start confessing the word of God over their life instead of all the negative things that you think, and then you confess it over your life, things would turn around in a hurry. And so then, but I want to take it just a step further, is from prayer, confession, and then to this place where you are commanding and demanding that the enemy stop in the name of Jesus. The word also calls it, and you need to look up this word. I can just encourage you to just study this word, rebuke. Jesus rebuked a lot. He rebuked people that were being influenced by the enemy. He rebuked Peter one time. He rebuked Peter. He said, Peter, he said, Satan, get behind me. How would you like that? Jesus looked at you and said, saying, Mark, he said, Satan, get behind me. Because Peter was being influenced by the enemy in a situation. And the enemy was actually talking through Peter to Jesus. Still happens today. The enemy can use Christians. Don't let the enemy use you. And everybody said, amen. So this deal of commanding, demanding, and rebuking. When Jesus came on the scene, the Bible says that even the religious people, they were astounded by Jesus' teaching because the Bible says he taught with authority. There was something different about Jesus. He had authority in his voice. He had authority in his teaching. Like, I've been there, done that. I got the t-shirt and the cap, guys. I know what I'm talking about. And he taught with that authority. Now, here's the deal. Jesus died on the cross in our place, and he gave us the gift of his righteousness, and he gave us this gift of authority to use here on this planet. So you have, if you're a born-again, spirit-filled, blood-bought son or daughter of the Most High God, you have the ability within you to command, demand, and rebuke the enemy. But you have to use it. It's not, no, hey, you know what I'll do? I'll call Pastor Mark. Okay, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be in the trenches with you. But there's times I can't be there all the time. So you're going to have to know how to do this yourself. That's why I'm teaching you this. You're going to have to get mean at the right things in life. And start commanding and demanding and rebuking in Jesus' name. Winds, let me get back to this winds thing. Winds cause waves. Everybody's like, dirty dirt. Okay, Pastor, you know, I live at Foss Lake. When it's windy, there's waves, and it's white capping. And those are the days that I don't go boating because water does get into the boat, and it's not no fun being out there being tossed to and fro. In fact, I tried to dock one time. I've got Poppy's Pontoon is the name of my boat, okay? It's a big old pontoon boat for the grandkids. And we had big old swells one day as tall as this pulpit, and here I am. I'm thinking, I can get to the dock. Well, I got to the dock, and it tore up the side of my boat before I got away from the dock. And so here's the deal. I don't know where I was going off on that, okay? I'm getting better on driving the boat, and that's especially don't go out when the winds are. But winds cause waves. Let me get back. Let's get spiritual now. Winds cause waves, all right? Winds cause waves. But what we focus on as Christians, we walk a lot by sight. We don't walk by faith. So we're focused on what we can see. So here's waves of addictions, drugs, alcohol, pornography, gambling. List goes on and on and on. Those are the waves. But there's a wind behind it that causes it. Sometimes, and I'm going to tell you this, and this is a whole other teaching, sometimes there's been a wind in your family line from three generations back that's still blowing today. And God is looking at you and saying, you need to stop that wind in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You be the one to stop that wind. Waves of sickness. In Luke 13, verse 11, there's a story where Jesus healed the woman. It says that she had a spirit of infirmity, spirit wind. She had this spirit of infirmity for 18 years, and it had broke her. She had no more finances. It was just, she was debilitated. She walked around hunchbacked and all this, and Jesus healed her. Peter's mother-in-law, the Bible says that Jesus rebuked the fever. He commanded the fever to leave in Jesus' name. The first time that I ever walked in this and when I was taught this was Taya was a toddler, probably the same age as maybe even younger than Ava. And she got a fever one time. And it was a fever that wouldn't break. And Jada said, Mark, Jada and I had just started, we just went to church, started going to church together, we got baptized together, started walking with the Lord, we started learning these principles about spiritual warfare, what to do in these situations, and Jada was changing Taya on the changing table and said, Mark, her fever won't break, she is hot as all get out, and I said, well, honey, I've got some anointing oil here, and I'm going to do what the Bible says, we're going to anoint her with oil, and we're going to pray over her, and we're going to ask for this, and I'm going to do what Jesus did with Peter's mother-in-law, except this is my daughter. I'm going to ask Jesus to rebuke this fever in Jesus' name, and we're going to see it break. So she agreed with me. And we laid hands on little Taya's head, and we said, fever be gone in Jesus' name. Leave my daughter alone. And within a few minutes, Jada was back there changing her diaper, and Jada started hollering at Mark, come here. And she had her fever broke, and she was just sweat running down. And we just rejoiced there in her bedroom. So, didn't have to go to church. Yeah. Didn't have to call the pastor. Yeah. I had to use the authority that God had given me as a believer in my house. You have authority. Here's the deal. I can come to your house and pray, and I will do that as your pastor, but you have more authority in your house than I do. Because it's your house. You have the dominion. That's the word. You have the dominion over your household. And you need to use it and walk in that. All right. There's, I've seen this in family lines. There's waves of poverty. Okay. God don't want you broke, busted, and disgusted. Okay. That doesn't minister to anybody. God wants you to have enough to provide for you and your family, and also enough to be a blessing to others. He wants you to have more than enough. So if there's just, you just constantly like, God, I just cannot get ahead. I just can't get ahead. Yeah, there may be some things on your part that you need to do, but sometimes there is a spirit behind it. Yes. And you need to stop that spirit from operating, from stealing and killing and destroying. That's the ministry of the enemy. There's waves of fear, anxiety, and depression. And you've got to stand up to them, and you've got to get some, you know, that's where you have spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ that'll pray with you and believe with you and stand up against them. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And, you know, I was thinking there's one of the ways you say, well, I just got to, you know, I came in here this morning and I felt it this morning. I felt it on all of us this morning when we first came in here. It's just the spirit of heaviness, right? You're like, it's Sunday morning, we're all tired, we've been ball games all weekend. You know, and there's some of that goes on. I haven't had my coffee this morning. There's some of that kind of stuff. But sometimes there is a spirit behind it. And so there was a spirit behind the stuff that was going on in here this morning. And we stopped it in the name of Jesus and broke through. And it just felt great to be in here. Yeah, I felt the whole atmosphere change. And what changed it was worship and praise. And so I'm giving you a little key here, and this is Isaiah 61, verse 3. If you ever wake up on a day and you just feel heavy, and you feel, I don't feel like facing this day, I'm just down, I'm depressed, and all these kind of things, put on some praise and worship music. Yes. And praise through, because the Bible says the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The Bible even calls it a spirit of heaviness. You can have a spirit of heaviness upon you, but a garment of praise will release that. I'm thinking about King David in the Bible. That's why Saul loved to have him come and play for him, is because Paul was, the Bible says, he was troubled by a distressing spirit, and when he'd have King David come and play for him, that distressing spirit left because of the praise. Praise is powerful. That's what we felt in this place today. Is when we started speaking the name of Jesus, that song is anointed. When we started speaking that name and praising that name, the whole atmosphere changed in this place. Every demon around here ran off in Jesus' name. I'm serious. And that's what, not only in the church house, but that's what can happen in your house. There's times that we leave our house and we just leave the praise and worship music on. I don't want them coming in while I'm gone. Amen. I don't want them around, you know. But Jada, you know, we'll wake up in the mornings and Jada will turn on praise and worship music. You know, we like telling Alexa, Alexa, turn on praise and worship music, you know, and here it goes in our house. And do that for your kids. Let your kids grow up in that kind of atmosphere, not just at church, do it in your home. Amen. All right. As I was telling you that I'm going to take this on a national level, just showing you in the Word of God that there are spirits behind things, and I don't want you leaving here. Pastor Mark got into spiritual warfare and talking about, yeah, we're in a spiritual war, people. We are. We need to wake up and realize that. And we need to wake up the Jesus that's within us and start commanding things to stop in Jesus' name and start commanding some things to start. Second, here's a scripture for you, and this is even in the Old Testament. But it says, 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1, it says, now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years. Year after year, okay? First year, David's thinking, well, maybe it is global warming. Okay, I had to just throw that in there, okay? Okay, I'm going to tell you something right now. God set everything in place. He knows how many people are supposed to be on this planet. He set the sea where it's supposed to be and the oceans and the shorelines where they're supposed to be. He's got it all taken care of. I trust him. Do we need to take care of this planet? Absolutely. We sure do. We sure do. But I just don't think we're just going to burn up, okay? God's got it all under control. But here's the deal. Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, and year after year. And finally David came to his senses and said, something's behind this. And so when David inquired of the Lord, now listen to this, and the Lord answered and said, it is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now, and I'm not going to get into all this stuff, but there's a lot of things happening in this nation today because there's a spirit of murder resting upon this nation. And that's why there's this famine that's going on, and we've got to stop it in Jesus' name. And the only way we're going to stop it is this silent giant called the body of Christ. If we will stand, if we'll get on our 2 feet, stand, get armored up, and start speaking and turn the light on. Instead of cursing the darkness, we got to start turning the light on. The dark's just going to get darker and darker. The Bible says that. But the church is going to get brighter and brighter and brighter, and that's us. And we've got to start waking up. And everybody said, amen. Now, whenever we read this in Mark chapter 4, what I found interesting, where Jesus was asleep in the boat, okay? I've read this hundreds of times. I've even preached it before, taught it before. And I never really paid attention to this, and I was finally said he was in the stern of the boat, and he was asleep on a pillow, and there's a storm going on, and he's taking a nap, because he already said, we're going to make it to the other side. I already know it. Father's already told me we're going to make it to the other side, so I'm taking a nap. Even though there's a wave going on, he's like, rock the bait, okay, yeah. All right, so here's the deal. When I read this, it says, originally, stern came from a word meaning steer. And that was the purpose of the stern of a boat as well. It was the place from which the boat was steered and controlled, because that was where you could operate the tiller. And I just thought that was interesting. That's where Jesus took a nap at. Yeah. He said, they're going to find me back here where I'm really, they don't know this, but I'm really steering this boat, but they don't know it. And so so they went and woke him up, all right? Woke him up from his nap. And, I don't know about you, but when I get woke up from a nap, I'm not a happy camper. You can ask Jada. Look, Tay's already shaking her head. See, I'm already looking forward to my Sunday afternoon nap. I've even thought about it this morning when I woke up. And I don't want anybody disturbing me, because that's just a holy time for me, my Sunday afternoon nap. And my family knows it too. But I'm going to give you three things real quickly this morning that is going to help you in your spiritual warfare, okay? And here's number one. You need to wake up your desperation. And what I love about this is, and this is in verse 38, and this is where it says, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him, and they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And what I love about Jesus, he has compassion, he loves his disciples, he loves us. He doesn't rebuke them right then. Now, he does a little bit later, okay? He has a little talk with them later. But right then, he took care of the situation, because they came to him in desperation. And this really ministered to me, because I'm a human being. I'm not a super giant. And there's times in my life where I'm desperate for God to do something. And God does not rebuke desperation. He doesn't say, oh my God, Mark, where is your faith? Now, he does a little bit later. After he takes care of some situations, he says, Mark, this is why I want you to grow a little bit more in your faith. All right. But at that very moment, because they were desperate, they were fearful, they had water coming in the boat, Jesus was asleep, he saw that they were panicking, he saw that they were fearful, and he did not rebuke them right then. He took care of the situation. And that really ministered to me, because Jesus is okay if you're desperate. Jesus is okay if you don't understand what everything's going on around you. He's okay with that. He's not expecting us to be this super giant of faith that we ought to just take care of everything. He's okay, because when you're desperate, you're looking to him as Lord. Now, here's the situation. If you're not desperate, then something's wrong, because then you're looking to yourself to solve all your problems. You're your own God, basically. And they knew who God was. He was in the boat. Now, he's asleep. We don't know why he's asleep, but he's asleep. All right? And so they woke him up. And so I just want to, if you came in here today desperate, you're in the right place for God to move. and God to speak in your situation. It's okay to be desperate. Don't. Sometimes there's times when I'm desperate and I'm like, gosh dang, God ought to be past that by now. You know, a spirit of fear come on me about something. I'm like, good grief. I've been walking with God. I'll rebuke myself sometimes. Amen? And I'll be, man, I ought to know better than this. God led me through that and this and this and this and did this and this and that. And here I am still walking in fear. Golly, God, I'm sorry. You know, and he's like, Mark, that's okay. It's okay to be desperate because you know that you need me. I said, yeah, I do. I need you every day. The moment that I don't think I need God is the moment I need to wake up. Yes. Amen? And so I just felt like that was a word for somebody in here today, because you have been beating yourself up because you've been in this desperation mode and you've been thinking, man, I ought to be a little bit more mature in my faith than that. Hey, hello, we're not all there yet. And we're never going to be all there. All right. That's why we need to come to church. We need to fellowship. We need to be around other believers. We need to get in the Word of God. It's okay to be desperate. In fact, if you'll go read the book of Psalms is David just being desperate. He is constantly desperate. And the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. He screwed up. He was in adultery. He did all kinds of sinful things that he'd been cast out of a lot of churches around here. But the Bible says he was a desperate man. He loved Jesus. He had always, every time he got rebuked for doing something wrong, he got it right with God. He fell tremendously, but he repented. And all of his psalms, when you read them, you're like, David was the biggest crybaby I've ever heard in my life. You know, and then at the end of his psalm, then he'd get it right. Okay, God, now I know what you're doing. And he'd get it right and all that. If you read his psalms. But it just seemed like he complained and cried all the time. But this was a man of desperation, and he knew who his God was. And he knew that he was a fallen man too, and that he needed Jesus to be the king. So here's the deal. People that don't have desperation because their faith is dormant. Okay, this is where Jesus is sleeping in the boat. And we're going to just use this as a type and shadow. People that don't have desperation because their faith is dormant and they just live with their demons. Please hear me on this, okay? And what happens is, and this is what's happened in America with a lot of people, we have domesticated our demons and give them medicine and we give them disorder names. But here's the deal. Desperation precedes deliverance. And I just want to, if that's you in here this day and that strikes a nerve, I want to know, how much do you want to get free? And I've told my daughter's a psychologist and with children especially, and I've told her, honey, there's going to be, you know, she's learned all the disorder names. And I said, honey, sometimes it's not a disorder. Sometimes it's just demonic and it needs to be cast out. And I believe that the Lord's going to give her wisdom and how to do that in her area, yeah. Right? Yes. And just that she'll know that she knows, and she's just going to take authority over that situation and help somebody be delivered. But desperation precedes deliverance. And it's okay to be desperate, all right? And some of us have just lived with our situation for so long, and we've domesticated it, we've given it medicine, we've even given it a disorder name, we just live with it, and God's saying, no, I want to get rid of it. I want to cast it out, but I need you to be desperate about it. I need you to start calling what it is. And it's not a problem, it's not something that, well, my family's dealt with it this whole life. No, stop it in Jesus' name. Get it out in Jesus' name. All right, here's number two. Number two is wake up your faith. So wake up your desperation, and it's okay to be desperate. Next thing is wake up your faith. And then it's Mark 4, verse 40. It says, let's read verse 39 again. It says, then he arose and rebuked the wind. He commanded the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, because the wind was what was causing the waves, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you, this is where he turned, and he lovingly disciplined, rebuked them. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Okay. He did talk to them about their faith. And here's what I want to share with this. This tells me, now I hope you can wrap your head around this, because I'm still trying to myself. This tells me what Jesus was inferring is that he gave that kind of authority to his disciples to speak to that storm. And to tell it to be still. Peace, be still. He's given every one of us in this room, if you're a believer, he's given you that kind of authority. Amen. I speak to the storms around here. So Jesus, we want all the rain we can get. but I don't want no bad weather. I don't want no storm. I don't want no tornadoes. I don't want no lightning starting fires. I don't want any of that kind of junk, but we do need all the wind. Start using your authority. You have that. And you know, somebody would look at you, are you crazy? You're going to stop that tornado in Jesus' name? The word just says we can. It's not just in the spirit, it's also in the physical as well. You take the spirit into the physical. And everybody said amen. So desperation, now listen to this, desperation cries, but faith confronts. Desperation complains, but faith commands. Desperation questions God's love, but faith quotes God's love. It's okay to start out desperate. It's okay to start there, okay? God's with you. God knows that we're human. God knows that we're frail. God knows that we're fallen, a fallen creation. He's going to be there. But he does want you to grow in your faith. He does. He just said that in Mark 4, verse 40, what we just read. He's telling them, guys, I need you to grow in this because you have this same authority that I have, I'm giving to you to be able to operate in. You mean I can stop a storm, Pastor Mark? Yes, you can. That's what Jesus said. You mean, Pastor Mark, I can stop that sickness that's been in my family for years? Yes, you can. That's what Jesus said. You mean, God, I can stop this addiction that's been in my family for three generations that I know of, and it keeps plaguing me, and it's starting to plague me, and I've fell to it several times, and I can stop it? Yes, you can. In Jesus' name, you can stop it. Here's another little nugget that I'm going to throw out to you. Jesus had already said before they got in the boat that they were going to go to the other side. So they were going to go to the other side. I believe that's why Jesus was asleep, even though there was a storm going on. And Jesus slept during the storm. And I want you to understand this, and I'm just using this as an illustration of that he had peace during a storm because the storm wasn't in him. The storm wasn't in him. And the reason why it wasn't in him is because he was really walking with the Father. And he had peace. And that leads me to my third point. You mean, Pastor Mark, we can walk in peace in a storm? You bet you can. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Number three is walk with the Lord. Number three is walk with the Lord. And I know these all sound really simple, and it is. It's real simple. We'll just do it. So wake up desperation, wake up faith, and continue your walk with the Lord. And this is two chapters over, Mark chapter 6, verses 48 through 51. This is another time that Jesus came to him on the boat when there was a storm. Just a little different situation here. But it says, then he saw them straining at rowing. This Jesus on the, it says he stayed back and he was praying. And then it says, Jesus saw them straining at rowing. They was out in the middle of the sea. For the wind was against them again. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. All right? This wind is still going. You know, so when I the first time I ever read this, and I've read this several times, I was thinking, okay, Jesus, he's walking on the sea, and it's just calm, you know, and he's just walking on calm water. No, he's walking on the waves. It's like Jesus is stepping from one wave to the next. Can you imagine seeing that? All right. The storm's still going on. He never did, in this situation, he didn't say peace be still and it was calm water. There's still waves going on. He's walking on them. It says, then he went up to the boat to them and the wind ceased and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. I bet they were. I would have been too. And when I read that, I'm just like, golly, God, that was so awesome. And I was like, but, you know, the water wasn't calm. You was walking on the waves. I mean, I can just see Jesus walking on calm water easier than he can walking on waves, right? And through this, the Holy Spirit really ministered me and said, Mark, there are times, what I'm trying to teach you is that there are times in life where it's not calm and you can command it to be still. And it still doesn't get calm. And he said, but I've still given you authority to walk on it. And I was like, whoo, that just gave me chicken skin right there. That was worth coming to church right there, Dad. Dad said, well, Dad's always getting me, is it worth the drive today? It's worth the drive. That's worth coming to church hearing that one. Sometimes you can just sit there and rebuke, command, demand, and nothing ever changes. But then you're saying, God, it ain't stopping. And God says, then step on it. Walk through it. I'll be with you all the way through it. In fact, you're going to walk over it. Woo! That's good. Oh, man, I'm getting the chicken skin up here. The Holy Ghost bumps, all right? And I got two more scriptures to give you to prove this to you. Psalms 81, verse Old Testament, New Testament, for those that need double proof, all right? And here, by the way, I'm going to say this. I'm going to go back to desperation because I still feel, you know, quit beating yourself up that you're saying I should be further along than this in my faith walk. Hey, we're all on this journey together. We're all at different points and places, and I understand all that. But don't ever lose your desperation with God. Don't ever lose your desperation with God. And I just want you to know about God. This is what he's doing. Remember when I talked about King David? All right? God's not looking at Leroy and Janice, my dad and Judy, Jada, Mark, and Tay and Cameron. He's not going around with a theological scanner saying, did they got it right? Do they know all 69 books of the Bible? Do they know what David did? Do they know what Jacob did? Do they know what Joseph did? He's not going around with this theological scanner. What he's going around with is a heart scanner. And the heart scanner, he's looking at your heart saying, is their heart towards me? Don't have it all figured out. Don't know the whole Bible, but is their heart towards me? And if your heart is towards God, he's got you. Okay? He's got you every time. These are my last two scriptures I want to end on, and we're going to go ahead and baptize so somebody can tell our baptisms to be ready, get their t-shirts and shorts on and their towels and get the kids back out here. We'll get that ready. But Psalms 81, verses 13 through 14 says, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Everybody say, walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Sometimes you're just going to have to walk it out. There is that part where you command and demand and speak and use your authority and all that, but then there's times that God's saying, you know, it's not stopping. You're saying, God, it's not stopping. It's not stopping. All this stuff that I'm going through, it's not stopping. And God's saying, well, then step on it. Then walk through it. I'm going to be with you to walk through it. Luke 10:19, a great scripture where Jesus told us as his disciples, but he says, behold, I give you authority, not just to walk on it, but to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. I've walked on grief. There's some of you in here that's done the same thing, and you're still walking on it. One day, and there's going to be a day where our faith becomes sight, and it's going to be a glorious day. I can't wait for that day. You know, I cannot wait till our faith becomes sight. But right now, it's a walk by faith, and he wants you to walk this out. Everybody learn something today? Amen. Commanding power. God wants you to leave here using that today, and I pray that helps somebody today. And we're just honored and blessed that we're going to have two baptisms. And Jason Gearhart and Rebel Shook are going to get water baptized here in just a second. And by the way, before, I just want to, you know, everybody know our new daily devotionals have come in. They're back there on the resource table. You can pick them up, take them with you. They're a great little devotional to help you in your daily walk with the Lord. And while they're getting ready and the kids are coming out here, I want to share this story with you. I shared this a few Sundays ago, but kind of what something that happened with Rebel, and I see some of the people that was there at the lake when this all happened. But a few Sundays ago, we were at Foss Lake with our grandkids and everything, and we decided we always do this. We go park the boat and let the kids play in the water and up on the beach and stuff. And so we did that. And I didn't realize that there was, where we parked at, there was several boats down from us. But I didn't realize there were several Leedy people there that day in their boats. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, Shanna came walking up to me and Rebel. And she said, Pastor Mark, Rebel's got something he wants to share with you. And I said, okay. And he starts telling me about his salvation and that he had went to Falls Creek and got saved at Falls Creek and that he wanted to follow the Lord in water baptism. And so you know, we're at the lake, right? And so I'm standing there and I'm thinking, when are we doing water baptisms at the church, all right? And this is a dirty dirt moment for Pastor Mar. I'm like, dude, we're at a lake right now. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I've told Patricia that we got water baptisms coming up on August the 20th. And I said, hey, Rebel, we've got baptisms coming up on August the 20th at the church. And he just kind of looked at me like, he goes, I want to do it right now. I was like, good grief, Pastor Mark. I was like, yeah, you bet. Let's just do it right now. And so we started hollering down the bank there. And before I knew it, we had 25, 30 people gathered up out there around our boat to baptize Rebel. And he followed the Lord in water baptism that day. And we had several people that were there, and they're here today from Leedy that witnessed that. And Jason, come on up here. And Rebel, come on up here. I'm talking about you. I want you guys up here with me. And give them a big hand clap, by the way. You're 16, right?
Yes, sir.
16 and 15?
Nope, 16.
16. Oh, my gosh. I got two 16-year-olds. Turn around here and face everybody so everybody can see you. And Jason had texted me over a month ago, and was wanting to know when we was going to do water baptisms again, that he's wanting to follow the Lord in water baptism, and he'd got saved. And I said, we're going to do it on this date, so that's why he's here. And you've heard Rebel's story, so Rebel's going to get it two times. And he said, I want to go ahead and do it again today as well in front of my church family, and so we're going to get this done today. But I want to just, you know, what happens in these baptismal waters, it's not, I had somebody tell me one time, and I was like, no, dude, that's not, he's like, it's just getting wet. And I'm like, no, no, don't water this down, all right, no pun intended. There's powerful things that happen in the baptismal waters. The Bible even says that what happens is there's a cutting away of the old man, like you're dying in Jesus, and then you're being rose again in resurrection power with Jesus. So the old's passed away, the new has come. And you're right, and as you're doing that, you're also identifying with Jesus in his death, burial, and in his resurrection. So there's and the Bible even calls it, with the Apostle Paul said that whenever you're baptized, there's like a spiritual circumcision that comes about. I know that's a big word for you guys, but it's a cutting away of the flesh, your fleshly nature, and your spirit comes alive. But that's already happened in your heart. This is just an outward sign of what's already happened on the inside of here. And you're also making a public confession of your faith before everybody here as well. And the Bible says that angels are rejoicing in heaven at this very moment over this. There's angels even encamped around here that are rejoicing that we can't see. But so I got a charge to you guys, and I'm gonna ask you something, okay? And I'm gonna lead you through this, and it's very simple, okay? Do you promise, according to the grace given to you guys, to celebrate Jesus' presence and to further his mission in the world? Do you promise, given to you, to celebrate his mission in this world? If so, say I do.
I do.
Okay. That's Rebel, I love that. I love Rebel. The charge to the congregation here, will you support these newest members to the body of Christ with prayer, words, and deeds to help them grow in their knowledge and love of God? If so, say, we will.
We will.
Amen. All right, so I'm going to pray over you guys. Y'all stand up here together, pray over you, and then we're going to come up here and baptize you, all right? Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We just thank you. You guys stretch forth your hands towards them today. Father, I thank you for Jason. I thank you for Rebel. I thank you for their confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you that they're following you now in water baptism. This is the first step in their journey and their walk with you. I thank you that you have these two young men. God, you're going to use them in a mighty way. You already have been, and it's going to continue. God, I thank you that your anointing rests upon them, that they're going to lead many into the kingdom of God. God, starting in their families and then friends. God, people that they come in contact with, that they're going to never be bashful about sharing their faith. And so, God, I thank you for that. And they're going to know how to do it in a right way. And they're going to live the word in front of people. And so, Lord, we bless these two young men today as we witness them becoming one with you through water baptism. And God, we love you and praise you, and we bless these young men today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, let's come on up here. Praise team, be up here, and we're going to go out with glorious day. And then I'm going to speak a blessing over you, okay? think we got Rebel's going to come up here, and he's going to go first. For those that are new here, we got a heated baptistry, and we kind of run and joke around here. I'll text Dusty, and I'll say, Dusty, fill up the holy hot tub. We got some baptisms. All right, come on down here, buddy. Kind of be careful, because sometimes those steps get slick. Yeah, buddy. It's warm, isn't it?
It really is.
It really is. Isn't it? All right, I want you to turn around and sit down right here on this little bench. Yeah, there you go. All right, now scoot up as far as you can on that bench. Now take this hand and hold your nose. Yeah, so yeah, because I'm going to dunk you backwards. And grab your wrist right there. Yeah. All right. Rebel, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Awesome, buddy. Proud of you. Proud of you. Stand up. All right, bub. Good job. I like that shirt you got on, Manny. God's got big plans for these two young men. Next one is Jason Gearhart. Which, yeah, sometimes baptize yourself on the steps. Yeah, turn around right here. And sit down on that seat there. And scoot up as far as you can. All right, now hold your nose there and this one on your wrist. All right. Jason, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Proud of you. Amen. All right, let's all stand up and let's go out with a glorious day. Amen.
Shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing, but not alive. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. 'Cause when you call my name, and I ran out of that crowd, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
Amen. God is good. And
all the time.
God is good. All right, I want you to grab hands with the person there next to you. And I'm going to speak this blessing over all of us. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, Amen. Go out this and have a blessed week. And remember, start using, commanding the power of God in your life. Amen. Amen.